On Monday's front page, the fight over voter fraud. We'll look at what Republican-controlled legislatures are doing to stop it and why Democrats say the GOP has made it a priority. The pattern of illegal immigration has changed. We'll look at who's crossing the border from Mexico these days and why are thousands of students in AP classes in high school? Think cold, hard cash. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Republican-controlled state legislatures around the country are cracking down on what they consider voter fraud. Democrats say fraud is not a problem, and the GOP just wants to make it less likely that poor and minority voters will show up at the polls. Michael Waldman of New York University's Brennan Center says the new laws amount to the most significant rollback in voting rights in decades. He says the numbers matter. That's because 5 million votes would have made a difference in the 2000 and 2004 presidential elections. Everybody talks about corporate tax loopholes, but is anybody doing anything about them? Monday's Times says some of the same lawmakers who say Washington needs to close loopholes actually support certain specific ones. Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska stands by what you might call the blubber break. That's $10,000 for Eskimo whalers. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky favors a break for racehorse owners. And Senator Ron Wyden is for helping companies that make toy wooden arrows, including one company back home in Oregon. Monday's Times looks at how the profile of illegal immigration from Mexico has changed. Migrant shelters are filled not with newcomers looking for a better life, but with people who've crossed the border before. 56% of the people caught at the border last year were repeat offenders. They're willing to face the risks because they want to get back to families in the U.S., which they consider home. Some immigration experts wonder if the current policy makes sense anymore. Do students and teachers do better if they're getting cash bonuses? 38,000 more students have taken AP exams since 2008, thanks to a nonprofit initiative that gives students $100 if they get at least a 3 on the tests. Their teachers also get $100. At South High in Worcester, Massachusetts, the incentives have changed the culture of a tough urban school. It's now cool for boys to take the hardest classes. This year, 70% of the kids who took AP classes there scored high enough to get college credit. Some small towns are fighting the post office's move to shut 3,700 local post offices across the country. Tiny Neville, Ohio has had a post office since 1816, and people there say the post office is the heart of the town. It's about more than mail. Nurse's aide Norma Bowling says if the post office closes, she'd feel as if a part of her died. Inside Monday's Times, the pink slips have gone out. Unless a deal is reached by Friday, more than 7,000 of New York City's lowest-paid workers will lose their jobs. Their school aides, parent coordinators, and other support staff. Monday's Times says some 347 schools will be affected. PS 153 in Harlem will be hit hardest. It's losing 7 employees. Intermediate School 195, also in Harlem, stands to lose 6. Billionaire Warren Buffett was the host at a $10,000 a person fundraiser for President Obama in Manhattan on Friday. Democrats were betting Buffett's star power would draw an overflow crowd of Wall Street's elite. It didn't work out that way. The president's campaign reserved space for 130 guests, but only 116 showed up. Even so, the Obama administration considered it a success. It raised more than $1.5 million. Another cartoon sensation from the web wants to try television. The annoying Orange has racked up 706 million viewers on YouTube. If you're one of them, you know it's about an animated orange and his buddies from the fruit and vegetable bins. Creator Dane Bodigheimer isn't waiting for the networks to come calling. He's made his own pilot. That's not all. Chains like Toys R Us will be selling orange merchandise for Christmas. So, Apple couldn't find a place in San Francisco for this week's announcement about the iPhone 5. Why not? This is the week when San Francisco is engulfed by the annual Oracle World Conference. It draws 45,000 people, and they have expense accounts. San Francisco is closing major downtown thoroughfares to make room. More than 4 miles of extra power cables are snaking through the convention center. so were 300 miles of phone and internet lines. Monday's Business Day section looks at how Mashable turned into one of the most trafficked social media and digital technology blogs around. Here's one measure of Mashable's success. Creator Pete Cashmore was invited to interview Nobel Prize winner Elie Wiesel at the 92nd Street Y in New York. Here's another measure. Wiesel talked about what might have happened if Moses had used social media tools to get his message across, also Hitler. Here's yet another measure. In seconds, that was trending on Twitter. If the great American novel is sitting there on your hard drive but you haven't found a publisher, listen up. Publishers are opening self-publishing sites. The Perseus Books Group is starting one called Argo Navis that will give authors 70% of the revenue. Usually, they only get about 25% for ebooks. Last week, the British publisher Bloomsbury set up a new publishing arm that will also release digital-only titles. That's our preview of Monday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.